This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
1 year ago, military forces of a strong coalition entered Iraq to enforce United Nations demands to defend our security and to liberate that country from the rule of a tyrant. For Iraq, it was a day of deliverance. For the nations of our coalition, it was the moment when years of demands and pledges turned to decisive action.
President Bush, speaking at the White House on Friday, Mr. Bush marked the one-year anniversary of the start of the Iraq War and stressed the need to continue the fight against terror in the U.S. and abroad. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Hi, Dan.
Good morning, Linda.
Dan, looking back on the Bush administration's expressed goals leading into the war in Iraq, What do you think's been accomplished so far and what has not?
Well, let me lean back and take a long view. The simple answer is Iraq is free. Iraq is free of Saddam Hussein's human rights abuses. Iraq is not free of an insurgency that seems to be growing worse by the week. Is not free of sectarian ethnic strife within the country, although a start may have been made with this interim constitution. And finally, Iraq is not free of the insecurity that will have to be addressed before it'll be safe for American troops to leave. So what is it? It's a mixed bag. And if you ask people in this country what they think, there's one poll, Annenberg University of Pennsylvania came out with a poll that says that 46% of Americans think the war was worth fighting, 49% think it wasn't. The usual right down the center split.
What do you think about how the war in Iraq has affected the greater war on terror?
There's been some controversy in the first place over whether Saddam Hussein was operating with al-Qaeda terrorists. If you believe that, then you can say something's been done about that. The evidence, however, seems to be is that there was not very much cooperation before, but now Iraq has become a hotbed of terrorism. Islamic terrorists are now fighting what they consider to be the infidel, somewhat in the way that the Mujahideen fought the infidel when they fought the Russians in Afghanistan. If you look at the massive bombing of the Madrid Railroad 9 days ago, you realize that there is a long way to go in fighting terrorism.
Talking about those train bombings, following the bombings in Madrid that were believed to be the work of al-Qaeda, Spanish voters brought the Socialist Party to power.
Yes.
Prime Minister-elect José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero defeated one of President Bush's staunchest allies, the war in Iraq, and Zapatero immediately announced that he would withdraw Spanish troops from Iraq unless the United Nations takes over the occupation. Was this Mr. Zapatero's victory, or was it, as some members of the administration have suggested, al-Qaeda's?
Well, in very simple terms, if you take 2,500 Spanish troops out that were there, it is a victory for al-Qaeda. They have forced the evacuation of a certain number of troops. Now we have one of the few other European countries with forces in Iraq is Poland. And I think immediate consequence of what happened in Madrid, the President Alexander Kwasniewski, who was a very good friend of President Bush, is now talking about having been misled. Not clear by whom he was misled, but in any event, he's now talking of pulling out Polish troops. Was there a victory for al-Qaeda in all of this? Without any doubt.
Do you think that that this might just be the beginning of cracks in the coalition? Do you think it's going to get worse?
I don't know. I don't know. I think if you lose Spain and then go ahead and lose Poland, it'll be sort of an open invitation to anybody who's very worried about having troops there to begin to reconsider it. I do think that, however, the United States is in a position, has enough help to these countries, enough relations with them to be able to keep this in place for a while. But it's a parlous time.
The Pakistani army and special forces are in a battle with al-Qaeda near the Afghan border. American forces are squeezing from the other side in Afghanistan as part of something called Operation Mountain Spring.
Yes.
Do you think this coordination is a sign that the partnership between the U.S. and Pakistan against terror is working?
Well, let's say I think it's working in this sense. It's working in a sense that there are now Pakistani forces operating in close liaison, closer than before, with American forces in that corner of Afghanistan, and that they have apparently encircled some Taliban or al-Qaeda troops. I think they would rather call attention to this than call attention to what I'm sure Secretary Powell called attention to in Islamabad, and that is the open market that Pakistan had been running for nuclear arms for countries like North Korea and Libya and Iran. And so it looks as though some kind of a deal has been made. Pakistan will give more intensive help in fighting on that border area, and we won't talk too much publicly about Dr. Khan, the father of the atomic bomb, who simply thought everybody should have one.
Dan, here at home, Senator John Kerry said this week that several leaders, which he refused to name, are hoping that he defeats President Bush in the upcoming election. And now, Senator Kerry says he will not accept any endorsements from foreign leaders. What does all that mean?
Well, campaign ploys is what that means. There is some question as to whether Senator Kerry actually said foreign leaders. It's a long story about whether that was misread from a piece of tape. But in any event, it's always a good tactic when you're in a campaign to hang on a candidate who opposes you that he's a favorite of a lot of foreigners, because as everybody knows, Americans don't like foreigners messing in our elections. The greater point now is that we now have Vice President Cheney in the traditional role in an election of being the attack dog. He does the attack. Since Kerry does not yet have a number two to do attack dogging for him, there's a little more being unloaded on Kerry than is being unloaded on him. I can tell you, by the way, if we have time, that President Nixon once said in an interview that he thought that elder President Bush should be dropped from the Reagan second term ticket because he wasn't mean enough.
Well, Mr. Cheney, if the example of Mr. Cheney entering the fray this week with some pretty harsh words about Senator Kerry's judgment on national security issues, he seems to be up to the task.
He certainly is fulfilling the role that Nixon assigned to a vice president. Go and get him.
Now, what about Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia? He has refused to recuse himself from a case that will soon come before the court involving Vice President Cheney's Energy Task Force. And the issue is, was it improper for Mr. Scalia and Mr. Cheney to go on a duck hunting trip together after the court agreed to hear that case? Well, does Justice Scalia get the last word on this, too?
Everybody gets a last word on this, because this is something that is quintessentially something that you can talk about and can't do anything about. Only the Supreme Court justice himself can decide when to recuse himself. And Scalia has put out a long paper to express his point of view on the subject. Well, if he has a point of view, others may have a point of view. The general point of view is not whether you have done something wrong, whether you're going to sell out the store to Cheney or something like that. The word is perception. If you are perceived in a position that possibly would be a conflict, you have to act on that perception, not on the fact. And I don't think that this Justice Scalia cares about the perception.
Dan, thanks very much.
Sure.
Senior news analyst Dan Shore.